Hello, everyone. I'm Judge Jeanine Pirro, along with Harold Ford Jr., Brian Kilmeade, Katie Pavlich, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is... Are you unhappy, Greg? This is a 5. The Squad's Hamas caucus is demanding more campus chaos while denying the threat to Jewish students that Jewish students face from anti-Semitic mobs. The NYPD busting up 2 more anti-Israel protests, clearing out encampments at NYU and the New School. It was a less confrontational scene compared to madness at UCLA and Columbia, with some protesters obeying orders from the police to disperse and get out of their tents. But leave it to the squad to give cover to the mob. The radical progressive lawmakers are downplaying anti-Semitism.
My message is the same to a Jewish student, to a Palestinian student, to everybody, that it is really important to educate yourself about what is anti-Semitic, about what is Islamophobic.
I visited the Columbia encampment last week, and they were completely peaceful. I also met with so-called pro-Israel students when I was there, just to hear about the anti-Semitism that they have experienced. And they told me it has been minimum. It has been overblown by the media.
Oh, my God.
But if the squad thinks that anti-Semitism is overblown, maybe they should help clean up one of these encampments, which are littered with tons of anti-Semitic graffiti and hate-filled posters. The NYPD discovering these signs in NYU property, which bear terrorist slogans like death to Israel and death to America. And Jewish students at Stanford University snapping this disturbing photo of a man wearing a Hamas headband on campus. The White House is dismissing criticism that Biden played both sides of the card after the president called out both Islamophobia and anti-Semitism.
Lately, we've been seeing a lot of vile anti-Semitic rhetoric on campuses. Does he think Islamophobia is just as big of a problem on campus as anti-Semitism?
The president's always going to call out all forms of hate, always. It is it's part of who we are as a country, as when we talk about our freedoms, our democracy, to disagree and agree with each other, even about this war.
All right, Katie, the president is going to call out all forms of hate, irrespective of the fact that we're at an inflection point with anti-Semitism in this country, and there's no claims right now of Islamophobia. Why do you think the president is doing that?
Well, he is really worried about losing Michigan. And Rashida Tlaib, part of the squad, Democrats like to say the squad doesn't have a lot of influence. They're far left in the party. But she is the one who's been driving this movement against Joe Biden, and he's very worried about not being able to get these votes in November. But I want to focus in on some of the comments that Jamal Bowman, congressman, made, for example. He said the anti-Semitism, which is just racism, is minimal. Well, are we now going to accept a minimal amount of racism according to that standard? I mean, this is not minimal, what we are seeing here. And the reason why the squad is so focused on tearing down the Israel-U.S. relationship is because it's a good relationship for America, and of course they don't like this country, what it stands for, and the foundation of it. And so when you move forward and how this is going to work, this is going to get worse, because Democrats in 2020 tolerated a lot of this violence. They're tolerating a lot of it now. And when they say they're peaceful, and I was in the encampment by definition is a violent place to be, because they are taking over property that is not theirs, and they're blocking people from getting in and out of it. They're blocking police officers. It's always interesting to watch them break all of the rules that they know are there. And then when the police come in to break up their illegal occupation of a public space while they're going after Jewish students and wrapping George Washington in Hamas paraphernalia, that they're then the victims and they can no longer function in normal society.
You know, Greg, it really is stunning that Jamal Bowman, a congressman, would actually come out and say the media is overblowing, this anti-Semitism. I've spoken to these students. It's shocking.
It's almost as if he's accusing the media of pulling some kind of alarm.
Like a fire alarm?
Maybe that's what I was getting at. This truly, though, it is a movement and that it's one long steaming pile of crap. This is the worst protest in American history. And I'm still trying to figure out why it strikes me as so physically repulsive, so ugly. And I was thinking about it. When you have an ideology that encourages the execution of gays and also non-virgin females, we can say, obviously, that this is bad, it's brutal, it induces suffering. But there's another element to that evilness. It's the intent, the pleasure, and the absolute certitude that causes those acts to happen. And on campus, we aren't seeing people being murdered. We aren't seeing people being executed. But what you are seeing are the seeds of the ideology that are being planted. When you look at the faces and hear the voices, you can hear the certitude, the blind dogma, the hate. And this is why it's so comical when they equate anti-Semitism and Islamophobia, because it doesn't, you're not seeing Jews do this. It helps answer the question why these protesters seem so ugly. They seem aimless, yet they're angry. They seem deadly certain, but they're still ignorant. They seem energetic, but deeply unwell. Like they have a lot of energy, but they look sickly. And I believe that's because they're physically and spiritually sick, because they're operating from a punitive ideology. They don't wish to create anything but to destroy. And their ugliness, therefore, isn't just physical. It reflects the ugliness of their soul. But it's not Islam. It's an iteration of Marxism that absorbed the worst elements of a religious dogma. Because at its base, it's not about Allah. It's about power. And what they're doing is they just happen to align themselves with a group of people upset about something. And this is why they haven't read about it. They don't care. All it is about focusing their rage toward the misery that they experience in their own lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, Harold, one of the disturbing things that they found NYPD on the NYU campus was these, you know, posters, you know, let repression breed more resistance and, you know, death to America on the NYU campus. So it's, you know, it started out as pro-Palestinian, then it went to anti-Semitic, then it went to destroy Israel. Now it's death to America. How far does this go?
It's unacceptable. Look, I have a lot of Democrat friends and I have a lot of Republican friends. None of my Democrat friends are believers like Congressman Bowman, the kinds of things he was saying. I don't think it's not a serious position that I believe he's taken. I certainly don't equate that with my party. We've said it on, I don't understand the people who are out protesting. I could understand Congressman Bowman would have respected what he was saying if he said, look, I've urged the kids not to be violent, urged the kids not to be hateful and not to threaten and try to intimidate Jewish students. They have every right to protest. But he didn't say that, which is alarming on a big level. No one's saying to Hamas, accept the deal. Secretary Blinken's in the region. They have a good deal on the table to get the hostages released and to gain a ceasefire. I don't see anyone in these protests now saying we want a ceasefire because we're concerned about Gazans or we're concerned about Palestinians. To Greg's point, they've taken on a whole another regime of ideas. I mean, I think we talked about yesterday. There were a group of people out saying accept climate change or accept the climate deal that's going before Congress. We do a disservice to these kids, to the kids who are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to school at these universities, with these people out here. If you believe so firmly and strongly in the things you're protesting, organize around issues. Run candidates for office. Vote in elections. But don't deny kids an opportunity, kids who go to school who are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars an opportunity to be educated. And finally, cops should be allowed on these campuses real soon. There should be no, we've seen what has happened. It's a little, Brian and I were texting back and forth about an episode of one of the schools on the West Coast. And it's some have argued that you don't want to do it. I think you have to put police and law enforcement on campus as quickly as possible to secure students or give students a sense of security. Jewish students, non-Jewish students. My sister is at George Washington University and has concerns about her own safety there as a freshman. So, and she's not Jewish. And she fears for her safety, or is concerned about her safety, as she is her classmates who are Jewish as well.
You know, Brian, they have called, some of the law students at Columbia have called for a cancellation of the exams because of the trauma.
Right.
You know, I think about how, with such wusses they are compared to the 17-year-olds who go into the IDF, start carrying weapons and fight for people's lives. These American kids, and a lot of them aren't. They're just wusses.
Yeah, I mean, some of the quotes, the violence we have witnessed, it's irrevocable, shaken many of us on the review. We know this has to be the same for the majority of our classmates. The events of last night has left many of us shaken and our peers worried. Okay, best of luck, guys. I can't wait for you to handle my murder case when my life's on the line. One thing, again, you're being very kind. Congressman Jamal Bowman is lying. He's not telling the truth. There's no way you could be talking to, saying, I haven't talked to Jewish kids. Yep. That don't feel threatened. We've had five of them on the show that Greg does not like, that morning show, Fox and Friends. So we've had them on, and we've talked to them offline. Then I have them on radio. Then they give me to other kids who have specifics about how they're being threatened. So why would you say that and put yourself in such a position to be easily disputed? Alexis McAdams probably did 15 of them live. How do you feel? What is it like? Well, my parents want me to come home. I refuse to give into it. Now, the last one was Fordham. We had NYU. We had Columbia. So that's a flat-out lie. He's trailing by 20 points in the primary. Why would he go more radical than he is right now? Larry Krasner came out. He blames the cops, that horrible DA in Philadelphia.
Yep.
He says, how could the Columbia call the cops after a peaceful demonstration? To me, there's, Carol, I think you're giving them the same credit. These guys in the
encampment. I've been saying, I've said exactly the opposite on this show about
them.
I'm not giving them the credit for that.
Just let me finish. I'm just saying the people at Alpha Soul for civil rights going against the Vietnam War, you know exactly how they, you know that was authentic. But I don't believe this is authentic.
Do you guys really text back and forth?
When it makes your show better?
Harold.
When I feel like I could help.
They only talk about
it. Good to know, Harold.
They're not being peaceful. You can protest about whatever you want as long as you're peaceful and you don't threaten people,
right,
or intimidate or
okay,
an act.
But guys, in the we class have of more rights of this coming up. So, coming what? Up, anti-Israel protesters reach new levels of stupidity. The Soy Boy Squad storming the campus with garbage can shields.
This program is brought to you by Progressive.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
It's Billy Joel. You know? It's great. Donald Trump calling the anti-Israeli protest student protesters radical left morons. And I think that's a pretty accurate description.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. It looks like the Giants running game. It looks like D-Day, but for dummies or for idiots. Anti-Israel mob charging at cops at Portland State University, bursting from the campus library with garbage can shields, only to be quickly shut down by the cops. But that's not all the brazen stupidity. Before cops shut down the UCLA Gaza encampment, we watched that live in the morning, Bill Malusian getting his hands on a list of their demands. The wannabe revolutionaries asking supporters for vegan and gluten-free food, zip ties, shields, EpiPens. You know, they have imbalanced blood sugar. I think it's to prevent a septic shock. And it's not just divestment from Israel that they're asking for pro-Hamas students. They're also demanding a buffet of left-wing policies.
Given the fact that the University of California is founded on colonialism, it's inherently a violent institution. It perpetuates war and violence abroad.
We demand that UChicago repair the harm it has caused in Palestine, Chicago, and beyond, as well as implementing a communally accountable program of reparation, disbanding UCPD, expanding employer-assisted housing, decarbonizing the endowment, and reducing emissions by 50% by 2030.
Is this happening? Is this real? I don't even know where to go with this. Anthony Fauci just called. You can take the masks off. Even he agrees. It's incredible what we're seeing. now that their list of demands are out, plywood was also used, I saw. They also had a little medical center, Harold, where people can go in if they had a bruise or a scrape, they can get Bactine and the proper lotion to put underneath their Bactine as well. So what do you think about this? Now that we know more about them, do you start to think that they're maybe not the cutting edge of the next generation of would-be American Navy SEALs?
Well said. I saw a professor on today from NYU, and he was bemoaning the fact, I think it was on our network a little earlier, bemoaning the fact that police are being called onto campuses to break up violent protests. He goes, we have a right to protest. He does have a right to protest, but you don't have a right to vandalize or a right to be violent.
Can I also add that they forced the police chief into a building because he was worried about his welfare? Sorry, go ahead.
No, this is so laughable, but it's there are people who are actually saying these things, and we're covering it because it's really happening. People who actually want a new economy and want us a new economy from the standpoint that we want an economy that is not reliant on fossil fuels, you can agree or disagree with that. People who want more housing for professors and teachers, you can agree or disagree with that. But when you couch it and wrap it in this box here, it not only is it serious, it's something that's not going to get taken seriously by anybody that can actually be a part of changing. And when you tell University of Chicago to do this or to not do this, get off. Look, they have every right to do it.
Go to a different school.
People think that right. I mean, exactly.
Katie, President Biden is worried about losing their votes.
Look, the universities deserve everything that they're getting with this. They're the ones who have cultivated this ideology saying that you should spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on PhDs about Marxist theory. And now you're seeing it play out. And while a lot of this is very serious, as we talked about in the first block, I have never used the clown emoji more than I have over the past week to describe these people who are demanding vegan and gluten-free food. No bagels, of course, because that would be connected to the Jews.
Why do they say no?
They don't want bagels because they're connected to the Jews. So no bagels for them.
No bananas.
No bananas, no nuts. It's like, and then they demand all these other things that they actually want. And it's like, guys, amateurs, if you're going to have a revolution, you got to bring your own supplies.
And I know you talked about
it. You got to have them ready to go.
Yeah, I know you talked about this last night, but there is some good news. The country of Iran is offering scholarships, Shiraz University. They got a great soccer team. Mm. So, I mean, do you think that some of these people should go right to Shiraz?
No. This is all pure, shallow virtue signaling. Who would have thought that, like, shields made of plastic garbage cans wouldn't be effective? Apparently, none of these kids ever took shop class. You know, these guys are so used to having their demands catered that they now expect actual catering. You know, they better hope that Starbucks doesn't require resumes for those barista openings. But if I were, you know, I guess what bugs me most about it is, like we said before, when they cite trauma.
Yeah.
This is a slap in the face to the families of the victims of October 7th, right? If I were a cop or if I were the police department and we were arresting these people, I would have the cells set up with a video playing that hour-long documentary of the brutalities of that day and force them to witness the true brutality, have them sit alone in a cell listening to that, as well as tapes of victims' parents talking about their dead or missing children. I'd also get countless videos of Iranian leaders and other Muslim leaders giving very specific instructions on what they would do to gays and adulterers, because they need someone or something to burst their entitled bubble. It used to be colleges did that. Remember, you went to college to gain experience, to learn about the world. Now it's designed to protect you from the world so you can sit there with your poisonous thoughts. And as you noticed, majority of them, women.
Right.
Angry women who have allowed themselves to go to pots. Right. They're so
miserable.
You have
miserable. To look very close.
They're so miserable. Will they get out of this? I don't know.
It's not a go-girl moment.
No.
Hey, Judge, I remember a time in college when the problem was people weren't studying because they're having too good a time. You're partying too much. Get back to work. Yeah. Now what do you say to your kid? I'd rather a kid show a lack of discipline and party too much than come home and tell me I made a garage shield, a garbage bag shield, and charged the cop.
And that's what I was talking
about what in the A block when I was talking about the fact that these wusses wouldn't know what it's like to be in the IDF, to pick up an AR-15 and to actually have to go to war. I mean, do you know what else they're asking for? They're asking for the morning after pill. I mean,
one's sleeping with that.
Yeah, I agree. They want climate change reform. And if you look at the litter and how they trash the environment, these kids are clueless, spoiled, elitist, stupid hypocrites. Okay. And that's just for starters. I want to say one more thing.
Okay.
If thanks.
Like I had a choice.
Yeah. If here's the truth. They say that they're traumatized, these wusses, because I don't want to say the other word.
Yes, please.
And they can't tell. Well, I will
come
say
on.
It if I
come
have
in.
To.
Come on. In the break.
Okay, in the break. That they can't take exams. Think about the thousands of other kids mm-hmm. who work jobs to pay for tuition, whose parents scraped so that they could go to these schools, who are trying to study amid the music and the cursing and the crazy anti-Semitism that's going on. They're trying to study. They're the ones who are being intimidated, and they have the right to be protected. And these guys they're upset because the police are coming on campus because they're creating a row. And finally, the majority of these kids are good kids. And I think we should say it. We haven't said it enough. I mean, there are a lot of good kids. These are freaks. And
some
you know
of them
what?
Aren't even students.
Yeah, 40%, 50%
yeah.
of them are.
I love the kids fighting back with their American flags and their taunting. It's
right.
awesome.
Yeah, maybe this could, maybe it could be
wonderful.
A big wake-up call.
University of North Carolina,
and
you
Miss
go.
As well.
By the way,
and Ole Miss.
Northwestern, Brown, Rutgers, and the University of Minnesota all have given in.
Yeah.
So they're beginning to give in to the demands of these numbskulls. All right, coming up straight, Judge, is okay?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, good. Coming up, the liberal media now forced to admit that Alvin Bragg doesn't have the goods on Donald Trump, exclamation point. I mean it.
Day 11 of the Democrats' lawfare trial against Donald Trump, the prosecution bringing in their ninth and biggest witness yet, longtime Trump aide Hope Hicks. And today she testified that she couldn't recall, but says it was possible that she was in a meeting between Donald Trump and David Pecker, a meeting that is critical to Bragg's entire case. And as usual, Donald Trump is blasting the whole thing after court.
The government, DOJ, et cetera, and in particular, lately, this office of DA, which is letting crime, violent crime, run rampant all over our city. These are vicious, vicious, radical left lunatics. The DA here is Soros-backed. So I just want to wish everybody a very good weekend. We have a country to build. We have to rebuild it. Our country has gone to hell. We're a nation in decline.
That comes as Alvin Bragg's case against Trump suffers more embarrassing setbacks. Stormy Daniels' ex-lawyer, Keith Davidson, said he would not use the term hush money to describe the payment to Daniels. And even the liberal media is starting to admit the case is weak.
I've seen precious little evidence presented yet that Trump wasn't floating right. above. I mean, I've seen very little evidence of Trump's direct involvement in getting this accomplished. So, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. A lot of that's going to come from Michael Cohen.
Prosecutors certainly haven't proven their entire case, you know, their burden out by any stretch of the imagination. But something that certainly has not been established thus far, 8 or 9 days in, is, well, what was the what can we say about the involvement of the actual defendant?
We need the receipts.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump is denying reports that he keeps falling asleep during court, saying on Truth Social, quote, I simply close my big, beautiful eyes, blue eyes, sometimes, listen intensely, and take it all in. So, Judge, where's this all going if even CNN is admitting that the prosecution hasn't proved its case beyond a reasonable doubt or at all?
Well, if they continue along this vein, there will be an acquittal, even by a pro-Democrat anti-Trump jury, okay? Now, remember, everyone said they could be fair, but just about everybody hates Donald Trump. I mean, that's the, on this jury. But I think the significant thing is that David Pecker, when he testified, the head of AMI and the tabloid, said that he didn't discuss this with Donald Trump, and he certainly didn't discuss the fact that this was a campaign contribution. Davidson would not, as you just said, agree it was hush money. He said it was consideration, which is a part of a contract, and he denied it was hush money. And then today we had Hope Hicks. Hope Hicks didn't lay a finger on Donald Trump. So we're in day 11 with a ninth witness, and nobody has touched Donald Trump. So what this tells me is that Michael Cohen is the key here, and Trump and his lawyers will destroy him. I think there's something very important to go back to, and it's a fundamental. The people have the obligation to prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt to 12 people. It's got to be a unanimous verdict. And if there is an explanation other than what the prosecution suggests, that is reasonable doubt right there. So Hope Hicks said today that Donald Trump, when he heard about the information coming out, I don't know about which woman, he said, don't let Melania get the newspapers. I don't want her seeing anything. That is proof positive that this was not about a campaign contribution. This was about saving his marriage, and he didn't want to get in trouble, which is the classic example of why men enter into NDAs.
Well, Greg, if Michael Cohen is the ultimate witness, I'm sure he'll save the case.
Yeah, and then you put in this guy Davidson. These guys make Michael Avenatti look like Thurgood Marshall. These key witnesses are so slimy, they leave a trail behind them. In simplest terms, the key witness, Michael Cohen, is the same person who supplied Trump with the advice that got him charged. So, again, it's like a patient having the wrong kidney removed, and the hospital and the doctor are suing the patient for malpractice. You can give 100 coats of paint on the on this turd. It's still a turd, and it seems like Trump is flushing it down Alvin Bragg's toilet. By the way, in terms of the sleep thing, Trump has got to embrace it. If there's a time and a place to sleep, it's there. He should bring a blanket and a neck pillow, maybe a little cocoa, have a little ambient music on the side, because you know what? He shouldn't devote any attention to this because it's a farce. Judge is right. Will the jury see it as a farce? But everybody who's paying attention now sees it for what it is. This thing is more fabricated than Joe Biden's memories.
So he's just resting his beautiful blue eyes, Harold. What do you think is going to happen here?
I don't know. I tend to agree with the judge in one big aspect. The jury, this will get to a jury at some point. Thus far, what I've read in the public narrative, there's nothing that says there was a crime here. Some embarrassing things and salacious things, but there's nothing criminal here. I differ with the judge in this regard. I think the jury can be fair, and I think this jury, I think those two lawyers on that jury will. If you're in President Trump's shoes,
you want
lawyers there to be able to help if indeed people are enraged or intrigued by some of the salacious things being said. But I tend to agree with the fella on CNN we played. I've not read or seen. I have it on in the background, and I kind of read the things that we're not in the courtroom, obviously, but it doesn't appear that what they have to prove, that they have proven it yet.
Yeah, and Brian, it seems like the polling shows that they also haven't proven it politically to the American people, which is what the left has been trying to do, given that they clearly can't prove there's been a crime committed here.
In terms of what they want to do, they want to show that he only cares about his campaign, doesn't care about his family. And as you said, he came out and said he didn't want Melania to know. It was deeply embarrassing. He wanted his family to be proud of him. That was Hope Hicks. The other thing is, towards the end of her testimony, reportedly she just broke down and started crying.
Oh, she did.
Yeah. So they had to have a pause, and they go, I guess she's done. No, she came back. She goes, sorry. And it just goes to, like, if you met her, she's like the kindest person.
She is so
efficient. I've seen with things come at Trump from everywhere. She was one of three people running his 16 campaign, never lost it, always calm, always under pressure. And you realize there's some really, Ronna Graff is another one who was a longtime assistant. These are the nicest people you want to meet. Now all of a sudden they got worldwide scrutiny.
Yeah.
They're not built for it, and they deserve better.
And also, she moved on from this world of politics 5 years ago. And of course, now they're trying to just drag her back into it. Let her live her life, leave her alone. All right, the fastest up next.
There are many ways to do that.
Welcome back. Time for the fastest. First up, they showed us the meaning of being cringy. Denver's water department. Denver's water department dropping this Backstreet Boys parody, replacing the heartthrobs lyrics with tips for limiting water usage. The Splash Street Boys earned a shout out from the actual band saying, quote, you guys nailed this. Judge, you're a Backstreet Boys fan. Were you going to limit your water usage as a result
of this? You like old boy bands.
No. Really?
That's right here.
Here's the thing. You know what? I think after COVID, everybody thinks that they should put out a video or an album. I have no problem with that. I think it's fun. They're having a good time. Great.
We put this on exclamation point on Gutfeld.
We are actually doing an expose on these people. Yeah, it's a behind the scenes. You know, Harold, I look at you and I think you could have been in a boy band.
You could have.
You definitely could have.
Thank you.
You would have been
I'll
like
take that as the compliment.
You would have been kind of like the quiet lady killer in the back that provides
deep
harmonies.
Deep.
Yeah, and you're the only one that doesn't go into rehab.
Who would you be?
I would be the wisecracking
front man
who then has a deep, dark secret.
Ooh,
just
yes.
One.
Yes, that Dr. Drew can solve.
Right.
Katie Pete? A very good PR move because they did all the video in front of dead grass.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
If you want your grass to die, follow their advice. But no, it's good to save water in the West. I agree. Maybe they should have chosen NSYNC.
You dance on the weekends on the corners. Is this something?
Well, I would say on the corners. I pick my place. It's their mini stages. I would say this. I really enjoyed this. I am very upset that these water people are better dancers than I am. And number one. And number two is, I want to know why. Just say, tell me why. Why?
Water
why
rights.
Do it?
It's
why do
rights.
We? Yeah. Why do? Why don't we water
you're trying
during the
to
day?
Do it right now.
California gets the most from the Colorado River. California gets more water than any state.
And there's no excuse for California to do that. Cause they have an ocean and they should desalinate. Yeah. They don't.
Fully Jesse
up
Waters
next,
was here.
Robots are coming for Lassie. Say hello to Sparkles. Boston Dynamics slapping a glittery blue dog costume on its popular robot dog called Spot, and then making it dance for some reason. It has people freaked out and calling it nightmare fuel. So we're on a dancing theme here. Judge, what's your thoughts on this one?
Why?
Tell me why.
No, I don't like it. I have four rescues. I don't need another one. Why would you pay for that?
I'm a little fearful of them. They could attack you and kill you if they're programmed the wrong way. These things can dance. They can move. They can go lateral. They have great vertical. And they don't look real.
Do you think, Harold, that when they poop, it looks like little Smurfs?
Yes.
Little blue Smurfs. Look, this is a killing machine.
Thank you.
You know, you put a baseball cap on a battle tank. It's still a battle tank. This is a machine that is designed to do things. Sparkles is not an appropriate name unless it's a drag name. We don't know. This would be perfect for a children's birthday party. You know, if they step out of line, Sparkles will just eat them alive. But remember, this thing is designed to carry your luggage. It walks behind you, you put your luggage on top. That's what you're going to use
or
it for.
Diffuse a bomb.
Yes.
Or diffuse a bomb.
Your show, for example.
I don't know.
That was good. I'm in the crossfire here. If you want to see for yourself.
I'm in the crossfire here between Kilmeade and Gutfeld all
so
day long.
You're so proud of yourself.
I am.
Yeah. I am.
People dress up their real dogs. Why can't they dress up their fake dogs?
Exactly.
I can't believe you took notes on the robot dog.
Because I'm actually doing it later tonight.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
This
is what we do on real shows, like on Fox and Friends, where you wander in and just sputter about anything.
You have no idea what we do. You've never seen a show, ever.
I need a flak jacket. That's all I'm saying.
Fan Mail Friday is up next.
That'll be great. People always told me, be careful what you do. Don't go around breaking young girls' hearts. And mother always told me.
Businesses go further with
little Paradise City, medieval style. First question. What is something you're kind of snobby about, right? You know, like things like wine or cheese or whatever that crap is. Katie, what are you snobby about?
What am I snobby about?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I'm snobby about
Guns? Do you have like specific guns?
Maybe, yes. Yeah. Ammunition. Because that ammunition jams.
Yeah.
And we don't want that.
What's a good ammo?
A brand?
Yes. What do you think I'm asking?
There's lots of brands.
Okay.
I don't want to discriminate.
All right. Brian, what are you snobby about?
I know what I don't like.
What?
Is that similar to what you want?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hate gum chewing. Mm. And when people come chewing, I immediately think less of them.
That's good. Yeah, snobby about certain behaviors is good.
Good. So I did okay.
Yeah, you did all right.
Thank
Harold,
you.
I'm snobby for or against something?
I'm snobby about the fast food I eat. I like Popeyes, and I like Chick-fil-A, and I like this new thing, Raising Cane's. I'm very particular about chicken, especially fried chicken.
Wow.
Mm. Oh. Judge.
I'm a snob on it.
I'm snobby about people who lick their fingers when they're, like, eat chicken or something like that. And they lick their. I've seen that, and I'm like, where did they learn how to do that?
Ugh.
That's disgusting.
I guess I'm snobby about language. I'm very snobby about people who use too many catchphrases. Like, let's unpack this at the end of the day. I won't be around. That's why I don't watch Fox and Friends.
Will you stop with hitting the show? You hit the show last night, too.
What age did you consider yourself an adult? Judge.
16.
16. Ooh, was that the first time? You drove? You guys, let me finish the sentence.
No one cut you off.
She's not denying it, Harold. What age did you consider yourself an adult?
Well, probably 14 or 15, but I got my first summer job when I was 13.
I got mine when I was 12, so there.
I was a paper boy when I was 9.
I worked in a dairy.
Oh,
that's some good parenting. A 9-year-old out and about knocking on doors. What the hell's going on? Who raised you?
I was raised by wolves.
Right.
What about you, Brian? When did you consider yourself an adult?
I would say I got my working papers, and I walked the streets for a job,
yep.
And the first person that hired me was Jerry Seinfeld's dad.
Oh, wow.
And before Jerry was famous, he had a sign shop. And he's like, what would you do? I go, I'll help you around here. And he said, okay. So I would go out in the truck with the guys and hold the ladder and pull stuff off the truck.
Oh,
and next thing you know, Seinfeld was the most famous comedian in the world.
Did you,
and
Greg, I still want to go after him for saying he's walking the streets for a job?
No, I just, I find
what
it.
What kind of job?
It's funny that Seinfeld's dad made signs.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Used to be Cal Signs, and he would paint himself on every sign.
Yeah. All right.
Were you a painter?
My answer is probably as soon as I learned how to talk.
You're a very mature baby.
Yes. I guess so, yes.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm going to say, I guess when I was 17.
It was
lonely nights under a tree. Walking
with
a dog. With a dog. The officer frisked me. All was well. All right, one more thing's up next.
It's time now for one more thing, and Greg goes first.
Oh, what a show tonight. We have the angel, Shannon Bream. Todd Pyro, Cat Timp, Tyrus, that's tonight. Oh, my favorite segment. All right. By the way, going to be a big new show.
Okay.
Anyway. All right, so I'm going to play the audio. Let's play it, and then we'll go around the table. All right. Judge, what do you say? What do you think?
Is it a bird? What is it?
I'm not. Well, this is. You played this game.
Okay.
Harold, she said a bird, but that's generic.
You have to specify the bird, or she gets the whole bird?
If you specify the bird, you could win $1,000.
That is a.
Take your time. We got plenty of time.
That is a fish.
It's a fish.
That's a fish.
That's a fish.
It's
a fish.
These guys are brilliant. All right.
Parakeet.
A parakeet. Okay, not just one keet, but a parakeet.
Is it an otter or a beaver?
Ooh.
Oh. You know what?
What is
you
it?
You don't win, but let's show it is a meerkat.
A
meerkat from the Oakland Zoo. And that's a protective murmur that it's making. He does it when he's standing on guard. Look at that. Isn't he adorable?
No.
Meerkats are mean.
Give a high five.
All right.
Okay.
Throw him in the water.
Okay.
Give me a fish.
My turn now. Okay. All this man wanted to do was just enjoy a beautiful day on the beach and eat his lunch. When all of a sudden, whoosh, A hawk that was circling above swoops down and steals his sandwich awesome. Mid-bite. Like he didn't even know what hit him. Woo.
It was planned. They had it filmed.
It was not.
Yeah, of course it was. He's totally like there ready exactly. for it.
That happened to my friend.
Who films some guy eating just sitting there?
His girlfriend. All right.
He Harold. Doesn't have a girlfriend, Judge.
He does.
This mom captured this adorable moment when her daughter was reunited with her favorite pretzel vendor. Her school is right around the corner from here. She's 4 years old, so she's been there, I'm going to say, her entire life, only 2 years. And this pretzel cart guy had been off for a few days, and she saw him That's and awesome. Ran right to him. The mom was concerned for a moment and realized where she was running. He always good for a high five for her or a bottle of water. And, you know, I love stories like this.
Oh, you too, so Harold.
Brian.
All right, here we go. Special thanks to KLIF. They're going to start airing our shows tomorrow, starting on May 6th. On Monday, over in Dallas. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Looks like your career is going off a cliff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's KLIF. It's a legendary
right.
station.
Haiti.
Okay, I guess I'm done.
All right. World War II veteran named Jack Milton was a sophomore at Western Kentucky University when he was called to active duty. He went on to earn a bachelor's degree at the University of Maryland, but he couldn't attend the graduation because he was deployed to Vietnam. But on Tuesday, the 100-year-old finally received the diploma earned nearly 60 years ago. He said of the ceremonies being a part of this was the best. He also served in the Korean War. So congratulations to him.
Wow. All right, around the table. Do you want to live till you're 100?
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. All right. That's it.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.